and his dedication of the gospel of the scripture. In Christ Jesus our Lord, dear friends, the privilege of family, that is what Jesus, what Mary and the brothers of the Lord were attempting to assert. They had come to see Jesus personally, and thought that it was their prerogative to interrupt his discourse in order to speak with him privately for a few moments. A simple request it was, in terms of our human understanding of order and decency and justice. What could be more natural than that Jesus excused himself, withdraw from the crowd, to confer with these his closest relatives? Even more natural it seems when we learn from the deacon prayer to Matthew's account, that the immensity of the gathering made it nearly impossible for Jesus' relatives to reach him. Jesus' response, of course, explodes any such understanding. His interrogatory rebuke has a pressing intensity. Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? No question about it, really. That is a very hard thing. Put yourself in the place of Mary for a moment, in order to comprehend the full root of Jesus' words. Go to the Spirit. He who has given birth to him amidst the sleeping child. He who has shared his youthful joy and power. He who is certainly standing beneath his step. Mary was not the sort of mother who remains aloof from the lives of her offspring. She kept things and carried them in her heart. All the more pressing then to be rescued by the anguish of her life, to find him uttering her own, "Who is my mother?" Certainly you and I hear a resonant echo of that mournful sort of Mary in our own lives. Look at all the claims we seem to have upon the cross. Our old Adam gives ample testimony to such claims. We go to church, and faithfully too. Many of us, from our first days on this earth, have been very intimately connected with this Christian community. Actively be working for the building up of the kingdom of God. And all of us here are either devising or preparing for professional service in the work of the Church of God. Some may have given up very promising and lucrative careers in other fields to be here today. All of us, I am sure, have sacrificed time with life and family, have given up rest and recreation in abundance in order to get us filled by Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But all of these blessings are wonderful in an outright factual sense. It is wonderful that God's will overcomes obstacles and hindrances that are flesh is completely unwilling and totally unable to overcome. It is wonderful that God continues to provide for his faithful members to attend to the needs of the whole community of Christians gathered together under the gospel. It is supremely wonderful that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And that God the Holy Spirit taught, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified the people of God, a true Israel, and keeps that kingdom of saints with Christ in the one true faith. But what is reprehensible glory. He gave us the rule of every word in our hearts and minds. The wonder of God's miraculous workings in us is dismissed by our own self. We start to see our relationship with Christ as a cooperative affair, to which we have contributed not a little of our own love to us too. The worst of all, wonderful himself, Jesus Christ, who rescued us from the bondage of sin and death, is what we believe by such sinful assertions in himself. The mother and daughters of Jesus have come to this point. They desire merely an extra bit of attention, just a little special favor in respect to the position which they occupied in the ancient community. Unless we imagine that this was or is an uncommon failure, the substance of the lesson before us is repeated throughout the Gospel, intelligent and narrative alike. Think, for instance, of the mother of the sons of Zebedee, who rejected for her son a preeminent honor in the heavenly kingdom. Or recall to mind the bitterness of the elder brother of the prodigal. Or consider the full-time laborers in the vineyard who reacted so violently when the partner received the same wages as they themselves. The situation could be multiplied endlessly, but in every case, the words that Jesus tell us to further reflection. Who is my mother, and who are my brother? And just in all these times, there is his disciple. He said, "Who are my mother and my brother? For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister." Such a statement on the lips of the very Son of God also carried a tremendous impact. By far outstripping the truth even of his prior gesture. The joy that must have invigorated the hearts of those followers gathered about the Master can scarcely be overstated. To be called not just disciples, not just friends, but mother and brother and sister of the Holy One of all Israel, brought a comfort and a consolation to them which no power of their own or any other earthly help could bring. Here the Lord embodies his calling on family members, and thereby joint heirs of the rich promises of God. For the message that Jesus gave was the pure gospel, absolutely full and free. The disciples were not in the least innocent when measured by the standard of God's law. We know that despite their close connection with the Christ, John and Peter and the others sinned, and sinned grievously. Jesus refers specifically to them as doers of the will of my Father in heaven. How can this be? Their claim on Christ is not only theirs of their own, not even an incident of their life. No, their claim was solely the promise of the gospel, that it is Christ. Their growth and preserving load of sin. There is not a gracious God who is completely reconciled to them as to all the world on account of the merit of the beloved Son. Jesus spoke God's gospel, and they believing with the faith created by the Holy Spirit to the very thing the prophet wrote, receive forgiveness and life and salvation in my very name. It's what the world, if anyone knew that. It is a paraphrase in his letter to the Philippians. Indeed, I have everything as well, because of the protection work of knowing Christ Jesus in the world. The point is this. No matter how long you may live in the world, no matter how valiantly you may strive to give glory to God, no matter how vast our personal accomplishments may be, we never get past the point of total failure with respect to God's love. And we never get beyond the point of a pure and simple gospel of being justified freely by the grace of God and the Son of God. But this is not an unenviable or a respectable position. Rather, we are possessed of the most glorious status that can be had inside of the heavenly kingdom. Listen to the very words of Christ himself. Here are my mother and my brother. And believe, for those words apply to you. In Jesus' name, amen.